Okay. The agenda that I want to cover for today is to discuss Das Ligare, Nisuin Amanas Ligarish. 2 shiurim ago, we spoke about Libo Ligarsha, V'hiyosheves Tachtav Mishamshaso. In the last year, we spoke about the B'nai Teisha Midos, B'nai Grushas Halev, which is an affiliated or close by halacha. And today I want to look a little more carefully at the idea of Nisuin Almanas Ligarish. Let me just pull that up here. Lo Yisa Adam Isha Vedaito Ligarsha. Okay, sound like a reasonable plan for today? Yeah, okay. Josh Shapiro and I were exchanging messages a little bit about some of the two I'll say 2 points about the main one of the main chakiras that we've been analyzing. I think everyone's clear on the distinction between the pure Bein Adam L'Chaveiro dimension and like what's a halacha in Isha, sorry, or what's inconsistent with the conception of Jewish marriage. Everyone's clear on those on the distinction between those two ideas. Yeah, more or less. I just want to say 2 things to qualify that. Number one, you know, it may be the case that the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro wrongdoing is very, very serious and very egregious. So, for example, when you look at the Gemaras and Nedarim and you talk about the B'nai Teisha Midos, like B'nai Anusa, B'nai Grushas HaLev, the cases where the husband's drunk. You know, when we say that it's just a mere Bein Adam L'Chaveiro versus being something that's inconsistent with the Torah's conception of marriage, when I say mere Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, I don't want to diminish the significance of, you know, how severe a Bein Adam L'Chaveiro violation like this may be. Does everybody see that? It's just less significant for an analysis of the nature of Jewish marriage. Does everybody see that? So by mere Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, I don't mean to say that it's not important. I just mean to say that it's exclusively in the realm of V'ahavta l'recha kamocha type concerns. It doesn't enter the realm of teaching us something about the bonds or the institution of Jewish marriage. Everybody good at that? Everybody understand that point? Fair. Ned, do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, couldn't you argue that the marriage has to include these Bein Adam L'Chaveiro components?
Oh, that's the second point I want to make. That also came up in my back and forth, my exchange with Josh Shapiro. And that is, of course, there's going to be a tight connection between the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro component and the Ishus component. Like, what is Ishus if not for being a very special type of relationship with another person? Right? So we shouldn't be surprised to see that of course, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro concerns are at the heart of or are somehow directly bearing upon the nature of Ishus. But even when you say that, there's a difference between something that's purely an application of a relationship with somebody else who has Tzelem Elokim and an obligation to them that would exist outside of marriage, just happens to be this person is living in the same house as you. There's a difference between that and saying that this Bein Adam L'Chaveiro component now will bear directly on the infrastructure, on the kinyanim, on the ksharim of Ishus. That's the distinction that I want to draw. So, for example, you might say v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. We'll see an example of this. You might apply v'ahavta l'recha kamocha to a spouse. Seems if it's applicable to anybody, it seems reasonable to apply it to a spouse, right? But you might distinguish between the pure Bein Adam L'Chaveiro dimension of that, which is equally applicable to others, and the way that gets specially integrated into the laws of marriage. Right? So you might say, oh, yeah, you have a duty to love all Jews. But there's something about the nature of marriage that requires a different type or a special application of that different from the way it gets applied to your neighbor and your chavrusa and your friend. So let me just give an example. Do you remember we saw 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kufna and Dalid? I think it came from the Sefer Aguda that the Beis Yosef quoted about makas ishto. Is makas ishto worse than makas chavero? Does that sound familiar? Yeah. So the argument that the Aguda gave was that it's worse because a person is chayv l'chabed es ishto lo'ava yoser migufo or lo'ava kenafsho or something, right? And we saw many Rishonim associate that with the Pesukim in Bereishis of Etza Me'atzamai Basar Mibsari. That was the Raven and Balei Nefesh. She said, Al Kain Roy La'adam Le'ov es ishto kigufo l'chabda yoser migufo. So of course, there's the Ben Adam L'Chavero thing that's at the center of that, right? Love for somebody else, affection for somebody else. But the point is that it's a special application within the world of Ishus. Or I would say it's totally reconstituted within the realm of Ishus. It's not just a borrowed theme that applies to others. Ned, does that help? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so of course you can't fully I think it would be weird to think of marriage as some platonic legal relationship that is not a relationship with another human being. If you want to be either Soloveitchikian or Buberian, you could say, of course, it's I thou and not I it. Right? It'll be. But the point is that it's not just an I thou in the same way that every Ben Adam L'Chavero is. So if you were to look at Hilchos Ishus as just an application of Hilchos Deos, there would be a problem. That's at least one way of distinguishing the two ideas. Does that make sense? Thoughts or questions on that? Just an important thing to be conceptually clear about because it's so central to a lot of the analysis that we've been undertaking. Okay, everyone's good. Romy, you're good with that? Josh Shapiro, are you good with that? This came up in our discussions. Okay. I'll just say one other comment that I'm not still fully sure about, but also came up in my discussion with Josh. I think it's just a very clean distinction to distinguish between what's a halacha in the institution of marriage, which I've been calling Ishus, and Ben Adam L'Chavero, or mere Ben Adam L'Chavero. Josh was wondering whether it makes sense to distinguish internally within Ishus, and distinguish between what's a halacha in the institution of marriage and what's a halacha in Ishus. Is that the distinction you're getting at, Josh? Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit what you have in mind? It might be a little too granular for our purposes as of now, but maybe we should be open-minded about distinguishing between what's a din in the institution of marriage and what's a din in Ishus. So tell us what you had in mind.
Yeah, well, I think I got this from, I think I was reading over a section of the Piskei Rav Uziel, where he talks about, he brings in Almanat Ligarish after he discusses like Data Ligarish and Liba Ligarsha. And when he's discussing Almanat Ligarish, he brings in like an interesting caveat that Almanat Ligarish, when you're engaging, let's say, in the relations, there's no, let's say, like there's no like state of mind from the husband or wife that they're doing this for Zanut, which is not true in a case of, let's say, Libo Ligarsha or the other cases in Nedarim that we saw, where within the action itself, there's a problematic state of mind, like we saw that they're doing it L'shem Zanut, even if it doesn't end up being the same, you know, like a case of real Mamzerut, it's Ke'ilu Mamzerut because of, let's say, they didn't do it out of Ahava. However, in a case of Almanat Ligarish, it's kind of like when you made the marriage, that was the problem. Or somebody could argue, but when they're actually doing the action, when they're within the marriage, within that time range, like they have all the right intentions. You could also argue, though, no, it's Almanat Ligarish is problematic because of, let's say, something. We don't want you to enter into a marriage that has this aspect of you're going to be divorced soon. Like it contradicts the ARST clearly Olam. And this would also be true in Liba Ligarsha, for instance, that you could, I think Liba Ligarsha, you could view it from both sides, but Almanat Ligarish, it's harder to view it. So there's a problem in the issue itself at the time of the actual action.
So it sounds like you want to distinguish between what's there's like a problem in the ishus and there's something flawed about the whole marriage, right? Is that how you want to? Yeah. So actually, so is that right, Josh? Yeah. So I think I'm not going to take a stand on that internal distinction. I'm just going to use the institution of marriage to cover both of those for now. But I think Josh is right that at a certain point, we'd want to get more precise even about different types of pigamim within the ishus. What's just like a local problem? What's like the whole marriage is messed up? But I think we'll enter into that level of precision a little bit later on. Okay? Okay, so let's look at the Daita Lagarsha, Lo Yisa Adam Isha Vidaita Lagarsha. So let's start here on page 65. Let me make this a little bigger. Great. Let's just get a volunteer to start taking us through the Makoros quickly. Ezra.
Tana Rabbi Ezer Ben Yaakov Amir Lo Yisad Amishto V'Datu the Garsha Mishum Shneimar Atifosh Arecha Ra'av Hu Yoshev V'Tachitcha.
Okay, so you can't. What does this mean? Lo Yisad Amishto V'Datu the Garsha.
You can't marry a woman with intent to divorce her.
Okay, you shouldn't marry a woman with the intention to divorce her. Good.
Now,
So we know the pasuk in Mishlei. Now, what's the one of the important questions here is how does this relate to the other two halachos that we've seen so far, which is the B'nei Grushas Halev in Adarim Daf Chaf and the Gemara in Daf Tzadi in Gittin, which is what, Ezra?
The Gemara of Libo Lagarsha.
Lotie Yoshev Tachta V'Misham Shasa V'Libo Lagarsha, correct.
And the same pasuk is Bar.
Same pasuk is Bar. What's unique about this case in Yevamos?
Well, that it's not just it's before you're married. It's saying don't go into a marriage.
Yeah, exactly. The marriage shouldn't be set up in this way, which is different from the other cases. Correct? Yeah. Okay. So we have the Rambam codifies this. The Rambam and Gerushin throws it together with the other cases. Correct?
Yes.
Or at least with the case of Yosheves Tachtav. And then he also throws it together with Lo Yagaresh Ishto Rishona. It's kind of a strange lumping together of halachos, if you ask me, right? I don't know, does anybody have a theory why the Rambam lumped these together?
Well, I think the Yosheves Tachtav and the Yisa make sense because the Gemara seems to equate them by saying the same pasuk.
Yeah, that's true. The same pasuk for both, that's true. But what about Lo Yagaresh Adam Yisa Rishona? Like, what does that have to do with this?
Yes, I'm not sure about that.
Right. You might just say they're kind of just general conceptions about how divorce bears on marriage, right? The conception of marriage is such that it shouldn't be terminated, right, unless there's really strong grounds. And similarly, the conception of marriage is that it should be everlasting, something like that. So are you going to say, Ned?
Never mind.
Okay, Josh Brofman and then Josh Shapiro.
I mean, I was just going to say, I think we mentioned once before that you might say that while we're saying that you should get divorced, if you want to get divorced, maybe the idea is that you shouldn't want to get divorced unless she does like an Eivat Davar. So
it's all about Das Lagarish.
Right.
Yeah. So like Lo Yagaresh Adamisha is telling us like your Das Lagarish shouldn't go into effect unless these grounds are met. Right. I think that's a nice way of putting together these different halachos. Josh Shapiro.
Yeah, I think you could also phrase it as these cases are cases of extreme hafarat brit. I think Rav Uziel also mentioned hafarat
brit
in these first two cases, and we know obviously Ziva Grishon is hafarat brit.
Good. That's like a variation of the first thing I was saying, right? They're all about like they're antithetical to the conception of marriage, and Rav Uziel puts it in stark terms of hafaras bris of eshes nu recha or eshes brisecha. Both the case where you set up the marriage to be divorced and when you get divorced without proper grounds. Somebody see that? Okay. But let me just give another example. I mentioned this quickly last time where we see concerns about how the marriage is entered into. So Ezra, you're doing a good job. Tell us about the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Mem Aleph.
Right. So it's the Gemara that says you have to see your future wife before you marry her. And the reason is because you might see her and just be like, oh no. And then because the Torah says,
So tell me about this. So read this line and tell me what it means. Shema Yireba Davar Meguna.
Shema Yireba Davar Meguna Vitik Gana Ala VeRachman Amar V'Avta V'Echa Kamocha. So maybe you're going to see something that you don't like, and it's going to disgust, and you're going to just be disgusted by it.
Right. So the thought is you might enter into a kedushin al yedei shliach, having never met your wife. Then once you meet her, it's concerned to skana olav, and that would violate v'hafta l'recha kamocha. So this is an instance where you read the Gemara speaks of it purely in terms of v'hafta l'recha kamocha, right?
Right, but the Rambam seems to totally hear
it. Right, the Rambam translates that into categories that are more internal to Ishas, right? So, but if I just had this Gemara, I would say the Gemara's concerned is that you're going to end up hurting your wife's feelings, you won't live together in peace and harmony, right? You'll violate v'hafta l'recha kamocha in just the straightforward meaning of the pasuk. But if you look at the Rambam in Ishas Gimel Yates, how does he phrase it, Ezra?
V'lo yikdash isha ad shirena v'tiek shira b'inav shema lo tinsachem b'inav v'nimsa megarsha o shochev imav husona. Right? The whole reason is because maybe you won't like her, and then you'll end up v'nimsa megarsha.
So the first part of the Rambam is Nimtza Megarsha. The concern is that if you don't meet your wife before the Kedushin, this may lead to divorce, right? The marriage itself will be less promising. This almost reminds me of the Abarbanel's comment about why Eirusin comes before Nisuin, so that the couple has time to know each other beforehand, right? The Rambam has a bit of a lower threshold. It's just, at least they should meet each other before they get married. But notice, he doesn't say v'hafta l'recha kamocha per se. He says, because it's almost like you're setting up the marriage for failure if you don't see each other before. Do you agree with that, Ezra?
Yep.
Yeah, great. Or what's the second view the Rambam says? Oh.
Oh, shochev imav v'hu sona.
Hey, what do you make of that?
So, yeah, I'm not exactly.
What's he referring to?
I mean, it sounds like that's like one of the Teisha Midos. But,
exactly. To me, it sounds like the Rambam is alluding to the Teisha Midos in Nedarim Daf Chaf.
Yeah, but what is that? I mean, so we said basically that those are seem to be more marriage, like they're in the institution of Ishas. But I mean, it seems kind of out of the random. I mean, I don't really understand the connection.
Well, that seems like the Rambam saying the idea of seeing your wife before you marry her is that. The marriage is supposed to live up to certain ideals, right? And both the setting up a marriage to fail with the ending in a gerushin, or in these types of prohibited relations, are symptoms of like an improper kinyan ishus.
Right. I just don't think it's necessarily true that if you will hate your wife if you've never seen her. Meaning you might not be attracted to her, but it doesn't mean you hate her.
Well, he says maybe she won't be ksheira beinav. I don't think ksheira here means like she has an OU on her. I think it means that like he'll love her, like her, respect her.
Okay. No? So I guess I understood the Gemara differently.
How did you read the Gemara?
I thought it was purely like how she looks, meaning it's beauty. That's what I assumed.
Well, it says yiraba davar miguna v'tiskane alav. I guess Yire could imply that. The Rambam says,
right, I guess from the Rambam, it seems to be that it's not specific to that.
Notice Shema lo simtza chen be'enav, he's referring to the psukim. I wonder, does the Gemara use that phrase also? No, the Gemara doesn't use that. It's interesting, actually. The Gemara doesn't use that phrase. Shema lo simtza chen be'enav. What's he borrowing psukim from?
Right, the reason for divorce, right?
Right, the psukim of Gerushin, right? So, you might say, unless he's a Rabbi Akiva man, which we know the Rambam's not, it sounds like he's saying something bad about, like you find something bad. It doesn't just have to be beauty.
Right.
Right, and you're right. Here he seems to even lean into this idea of sinna, right? Okay, so there's the point I want to emphasize is that the Rambam here seems to translate the v'hafta l'recha kamocha in the Gemara into terms of Ishus. Do we agree on that? That it will lead to a gerushin. or shochevim avahusona. And I just want to point out that as a matter of like pure bin adam l'chavero, you might say there are scenarios in which you could get divorced without, you know, there being any wrongdoing within Hilchos Deos. Like it could be a totally amicable divorce, like the couple just realizes that they weren't right for each other, right? But they say, hey, we tried out this marriage, now let's go our own ways. We had a prenup, so there's no financial entanglements, there are no children, right? It's a very clean separation. So you could imagine a Kiddushin Abanas Ligaresh without anybody's feelings or life being upset. And the Rambam here just says the problem is Nimtza Megarsha. The second disjunct is a little more complicated because Shochivam Vahusona implies some sort of animosity. But notice the Rambam doesn't say it's animosity per se. It's animosity as it affects the laws of marriage, right? The B'nai Tesha Midos and Edarim. Okay. So that's the main point that I want to take out of this Rambam. This is another example on the Rambam's interpretation of the problem of setting up a marriage to fail. Right? That's what the Rambam would say is what the Gemara might call an iser, baha isura nami ispa, or at least a lack of a mitzvah. That's why it's mitzvah sheikadish adam yishto ba'atzmo yeser ma'ideh shlucho. I think here the Rambam says, ein ro'i lo shekana v'lo yekadesh isha ajirena. So it's like there's some prohibition, there's some sort of iser. Okay, we have a hand from Josh Shapiro and then Josh Brafman.
Do you think this statement from the Rambam, the last sentence we have, where he says, tells us about the Rambam's position on the justification needed for divorce?
It's interesting. Problem is the pasuk itself is interpreted by all three camps, right? The Beisham, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva are all interpreting V'hayom lo simtzachem be'einav. But I see you're saying from context here, right? Acher enav etiek shera be'einav sounds like, sounds consistent with Beis Hillel. But it's hard to know. What do you think, Josh? Do you think it sheds further light? Or?
Yeah, I think also if you read it together with like the Vahus, like Sona, I know that's talking about something else. I think it like, I don't know. I think it works well with one of the readings we had of the Rambam where you say it's an Eitz HaTova to do go like Beit Shammai. The other Rambam where he says, the Al Yimai Her L'Shalfena, that Rambam.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I like that idea. Josh is correctly pointing out that this Rambam could shed light on Daf Tzadi, the Mishnah Daf Tzadi. Like, what's the Rambam's interpretation here? That's great. Let me just mention, if you look at the Rambam Perish and Mishnayis on that Mishnah in Kiddushin in the second parak, so the Rambam says, Menaklalim etzleinu, we learn from all these principles, Lo yisa adam isha acheirena, she'anu choshishin, Shema lo simtza chen be'enav, v'yamod ima, v'hu eno ohava, v'ze aser. So this is very interesting. What's he saying? It's actually a very intriguing. This is the Rambam Perish Mishnayos. Josh Brafman.
It sounds like he's saying the concern is that they're going to end up staying together when really he should divorce her. Because if it's not working out and he doesn't love her, then we want him to divorce her.
Yeah, I think this is actually a mirror image of what Josh Shapiro was just asking. Notice Ram uses that same phrase, Shema lo simtza chen be'enav. If he doesn't see her, we're choshishin that she's not going to be matza chen be'enav. And what's going to happen? Yamod ima. And nevertheless, he'll remain with her. Who ain't ohava, and he doesn't love her. Visit Asr. Right, it's one of those things. It's very striking language. You know, it's people always ask, like, you know, does Judaism care about love in a marriage? I don't know if people actually ask that. Does anybody know if people ask that? You've asked it. You know, every now and then people say, "Oh, you see Yitzchak and Rivka." The pasuk says, "Vayehavel." Right, you know, but here it's very interesting. The Ram here seems to say that. This Gemara is explicit that the problem is like of them remaining in a marriage of who eino ohava vize aser, which is just, you might say, is the inverse of his formulation in Mishnah Torah where he says, oh, that he'll hate her and bishochevima, Right. This is why, again, there's another example where Kiddushin and Gerushin are two sides of the same coin. But I think Josh is totally right that this Rambam is saying, like, when there's no more Ahava, it's almost bad for this couple to be together. Right. So when you enter a Kiddushin without any awareness or knowledge of it being capable of supporting Chein Be'enav, Ohava, that's a prohibited type of relations. And I think Josh Brofman is totally right that the implication of this Rambam is that if there's a lack of Ahava, then it would be usher for them to remain together and there would be almost like a Chi of Ligarish. Does everybody see that? Yeah, it's pretty, because almost like the Rambam is giving us like mirror images in Perisha Mishnayis and Mishnah Torah. So Ned, you have a hand?
Yeah, the next line. It seems to be not... It's not necessarily internal to marriage. It's a external principle. It's not
interesting. I mean, the Gemara does use v'yahavta l'recha kamocha, right? Here he uses lo simsachin be'enav. So I guess the question
here it's about
is
staying, right? You would think that the isser would be like the pasuk from Mishlei.
Well, let's say this. Is the idea that upon divorce, the husband will cease to hate her? I guess that's the idea.
Maybe it's just the problem is maintaining that relationship is a problem of after. It's a problem of
after. It's interesting. It's just interesting to me that the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka eschews, like he totally just moves into Megarsha or Shochivim Avuhusona language, which seems like Ndarm Davchaf and Gidin Davtzadi. You're right, you could repair Shemishnayas as saying that it's purely, he's not treating her correctly. Let's see. But I don't know. Do you think that, do you have a chiv to love, like that everybody should motzei chein be'enecha?
I don't know.
Right. Does that mean that everyone has to always find favor in your eyes? So.
What is it? Mishnah.
Did we lose Zolti? I was just about to make a joke about Zolti. Romy, text Daniel. Tell him I see that he's not here.
Not enough of us were chiming in with Chazan.
Yeah, tell him we'll do some singing as a kehila for him. I was about to make a Zolti joke, but okay, fine. I think it's an interesting question, Ned, about whether the Rambam Perish and Mishnayis is still leaning into the Binan Mechavera paradigm. Okay, so we have Ezra, you have a hand on this? Zev had a hand.
No, I was just going to make a similar point to Ned's that it seems like you could read Mishnah Torah is a little more difficult, but you could definitely it seems like you could read the parish of Mishnah as a Ben Amachabera.
Ashanu Choshen Shemelo Simtza Chein Be'enav V'yamod Ima.
Like you could read that as he's sort of hiding the fact from her. Like he's like hates her in his heart, but he's still
right. I guess the question is Yamod Ima of Hu Eino Ava. So is the problem that it just propagates, furthers the sinna? Or is the idea that no yamorima means like it's a problem to have a marriage where there's hatred in it, right?
Right. I guess I was just reading that as not an intrinsic thing, but just the fact that
agreed.
The fact that she doesn't know that he doesn't like her or something like that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Let's take Ezra and then Josh, then we'll go on.
So I read the Vayamurima Vahu Eno Ova is basically the same thing as in the Yad Chazaka, meaning it's being the fact that he hates her. And maybe it's talking specifically about Tesha Midos. I know it's kind of hard to read into, but I think that's what makes sense. I mean, because first of all, then it's coherent between both the Parish Mishnayos and Yad Chazaka. And also, I thought like when Eno Ova, I don't think he's talking about that there's a lack of love. I think he's trying to say that there's hate.
You're saying in Perisha Mishnayis.
Yeah.
Akiva Rosenthal messaged me. Akiva, is your audio still not working?
Hello? Oh, okay. I just figured it wasn't working. Yeah, should I just read the question?
Yeah, but it means you davened really well because Hashem cured your computer.
I hope so.
Or your computer davened really well.
Yeah, so it seems from here that we're saying that there's no middle ground. That once the love stops, then eventually become hatred.
I think that's right. Exactly. I think that's kind of what Ezra's pointing out. Is there a middle ground between it's loveless and hateless? Right? So in Mishnah Torah, you get this idea that there's hate. Or at least in the Shochiv Imava Husona. It's not clear if the Rambam thinks that you need hate to justify the Nimtza Megarsha. In Perisha Mishnayos, you definitely have Eino Ohava. So it's hard to know if the Rambam just thinks those are interchangeable. Right? Like if you're saying it sounds like it, maybe that's what the Rambam is getting at. It's not so clear to me. You might say like Eino Ohava is grounds for Gerishin, but Sinna is what would trigger the Isser of Tesha Midos. Maybe. Josh Brafman, you have a comment?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to beat the last phrase in the other Rambam to death, but I read it differently. I read Shochev Ima V'Husona as I didn't read it as like an Ishud issue at all of like Nedarim. I read it as because he's not attracted to her, and because he's going to have Bia with her, that's going to cause him to hate her. Like I thought, the Shochev was the cause for the Sona.
Nimsa Megarsha O Shochev Ima. And therefore, Sona?
Like either you're going to divorce her, or you're going to stay together, and you're going to have to have Via, and then he's going to hate her. That's how I read it.
And they should have said right. You should have said Yamod Ima. I think I read the Shochev Ima meaning that there's like a Bnei Tesha Midos thing. Anybody like Josh's reading of the Rambam? Ezra's enthusiastically shaking his head. No. Something to think about, but yeah, Josh Brafman, I don't think that's the most compelling reading of that. I think it implies like the as Ezra read it initially. Yeah. Okay, so let's now look at the Meiri here very quickly. The Meiri on this Gemara in Kedushin, then we'll move on. So he says, same idea, blah blah blah. Yesh lemisha mekadesh ad shirena kodem nesu nidnu avera. Yesh lemisha mekadesh ad shirena kodem kedushin. So let's see. Ezra just read this line for us. Vishaim. So better that you not get married. Explain that to us.
It was better that you see her and you're not pleased by her than marrying her and then realizing that you're displeased by her.
Exactly. This actually puts pressure on that thing I quoted from the Gra earlier. Right, about like the engagements, better to go through with the engagement and get married and give a get. Here you could see an explicit statement in the Rishonim that, look, if you see it's not good, better to not get married than to get married and, you know, become disgusted. And so he says there's a mitzvah to go in doing it yourself. And what does he say here? Kadesha yikanesba.
Kadesha yikanesba chach mitoch simcha v'lo yavi atmo lidei charata. Right, he says that I guess you want to do it with simcha and that you won't come to like regret.
Yeah,
which seems like a very like he's giving advice, like Meir, like it's not so it doesn't seem like a halachic statement.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Meiri interprets a lot of Gemaras as you know giving just sound counsel, so that's definitely one way you could read what the Meiri is doing here. Okay, but definitely at you see this Gemara in Kedushin, it's in line with the Gemara in Yevamos about. Lo yisadam isha v'daito legarsha. The Gemara Kipshuta and Kedushin Mem Aleph implies that this halacha v'havta recha kamocha. The Rambam interprets that, at least in Mishnah Torah, as being a din in Amanas Legarish or Shochiv Mavusona, which is Nedarim Davchav. The Rambam Perish Mishnayis may be saying something similar, or the Rambam Perish Mishnayis might be leaning into more v'havta recha kamocha interpretation. Okay, so now I want to flesh out this idea of Amanas Lagarsha further. So if you look in Simon Bays and Hilchos Evan Ezer, which is the beginning of Hilchos Piri Veribia, etc. So you have a whole slew of dinim that are associated with marriage, who you should marry, Amars Lo Yisa Kahanes, which we saw, Lo Yisa Bachor Zekena, etc. And in those dinim, we have lo yisa adam yisha v'day delegarsha. So I just want to point out that this is situated along with halachos that are about bad unions. Does everybody see that? So at least in Simon Bey's in the Shulchan Aruch, this seems to be like one subset of just bad relationships. We'll talk about the Shulchan Aruch's exception, Imhodiyah Tchila. We'll get to that in a second. The Shulchan Aruch repeats this halacha in Simon Kufyad Tes. So he has it in two places. Right at the beginning of Hilchos Gerushin, he says, Lo yisa adam yisha v'day delegarsha. So it is just striking to me that the Shulchan Aruch has this in two different places, right? Both at the beginning of Hilchos Ishus and at the beginning of Hilchos Gerushin. Anybody have thoughts on that? Why does this get codified twice in two different places? Josh Brafman?
I mean, it tells you something about Ishud and it tells you something about Gerushin, but I mean, since those are related, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you can see this is clearly about just to take the... It's an instance where this is not just like some halacha about Gerushin. It seems to be something about the type of marriage that's being created if it's by definition short term, right? Josh, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing so deep. Just point out that this makes its way into Simon Bey's and Evan Ezer, introducing types of unions that are good and types of unions that are bad. And the Shulchan Aruch says this is a type of union that's bad. Right, from like the Hilchos Puravu perspective, from like the very big, like what types of marriages are out there, this is a type of marriage that's not sanctioned, or that's considered a lo yisa. You shouldn't do it. Okay. I wanted to maybe point to one other Gemara that might support this general idea. Again, this is our Gemara Daf Tzadi Amud Beis. I was toying with this idea. I'm not really sure that it's true, but I'll see what you guys think, and then we can take it from there. So you have the Gemara in Kedushin as an example of the short-term marriage. What about our Gemara in Gittin, where it talks about v'holcha v'haisel ish acher, if you have a woman who's yotza v'rosha parua bashuk, and she's rochetzes bein ha'anashim, right? The Gemara said, kigon zu mitzvah l'garsha. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. So the Gemara says that this guy is called an acher, an ish acher, she'ein ze ben zugo l'rishon. He's not comparable to the first husband because ze hotzi risha mi beso v'ze hechnis risha l'soch beso. So the thought was that there's the first guy was casting out a bad person, the second guy is taking her in. Zacha sheni shilcha shenemar v'sana ha'usnea ha'isha acharon v'imlav kovraso. So it just seems to me that the psukim here are doing what? It seems to me that the psukim are telling us that there's a difference in caliber between the Zug Rishon and the Zug Sheni, right? Almost as if the Zug Sheni is not sustainable. It's not going to last.
Is this talking about a Zug Shani, or just, I mean, he says Acher. I mean,
so it's talking about the second husband, right? It's sequencing in the pasuk. The first, it says, remember the pasukim in Kiseitze start off, oh, ki gachi shishu v'ala v'hayim lo simtzachem be'enav kimatz b'ar v'astavar v'kas lo sefer chrisos v'shilch mi'beso, right? V'halcha v'haysel isha acher, and then usneya ha'isha acharon, and then you get a second rendition of Vakasava Sefer Krisos. Yes? Sound familiar, Ezra?
Yeah, I was just saying maybe that's not talking about a Zug Sheni.
But I'm saying it's her second
yeah,
marriage.
Yeah, but I'm saying I'm defining Zug Sheni. I mean, because I don't think inherently, like, also it seems to be finding something else. It says we call him an Acher.
My point is just that the Gemara seems to be criticizing the second marriage.
Right? You know, never mind. I everything I said was wrong.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
Why was everything you said wrong?
No, because no, what I just said was wrong. I retract it.
Okay. That was really intense. Josh Brofman, do you want to say something?
Never mind. I was going to say he was wrong when he said I was wrong also. But...
Okay. So does everybody agree with me, though, that the Gemara here is distinguishing between like a Zug Rishon and a Zug Sheni? And it's saying the second Zug will not last. Correct? And you might even get the sense that the Gemara is saying that the thing that's wrong with the Zug Sheni is that it's not really sustainable. It's not sustainable because the Gemara thinks that a relationship with this Isha Risha is not a durable relationship, right? Either Kovraso or Nimsa Mishalcha. So you might even say that the Gemara's criticism here of the Zug Sheni is that it's not a durable type of a union, right? It's the equivalent of Shema Tizgana Elav in Kedushin Mem Aleph. Yeah? Romy's nodding in the affirmative. No, Romy, do you agree with that?
I mean, it sounds like plausible. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Something to think about. I mean, I think it's plausible. Okay. I want to now get to the Gemara in Yevamos here, which is a Gemara that puts a lot of pressure on any interpretation that criticizes short-term marriages. Right? Even though we just saw several Gemaras that do that. So we have the Man Havaliyoma Gemaras. So let's just look at let's start with the Yevamos one. So this appears in the context of the Gemara concerned about Mamzerim, correct? You're worried about Ach no se achoso because, you know, this is an issue today with genetic, like sperm donors and egg donors, right? How do people know that they're not actually related? So in the Gemara's case, you have that if people have wives in different countries. Okay, so let's get a volunteer to take us to the Rav and Rav Nachman stories. Ned.
Any Rav equally darvish here. Rav Zomer Man Havilyoma. So when Rav would go visit this town, he would ask all the women there who wants to be mine for the day. Rav Nachman equally the Sheikh Natsiv Rav Zomer Man Havilyoma. Okay.
So what were they doing?
They would go on a business trip, and when they would go out town, they would want to always be married to somebody in the vicinity. So they would marry somebody for the day that they were visiting.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of wild, right?
Yeah.
I think when you read this Gemara, it's very jarring. Little perplexing. And the Gemara thinks this is totally, I mean, the Gemara seems to think it's totally fine.
Yeah, so it solves the technical issue. Shani, Rabbanan, Dibkia, Shemayu. Their names are, they're well known. So people will know the names, if they sire any children, they'll know the names of their father.
Yeah, well, everyone wants to know their yichas. Now, I just want to point out, the Gemara doesn't tell us why these Rabbanan, why Rav and Rav Nachman were doing this. Right. I guess we get a hint from the Amar Rava discussion. But just what was your impression? Why are Rav and Rav Nachman doing this?
I mean, without the later Rishonim, we try to tone it down a bit. I mean, I think the Pshat reading is that they want to be able to control their Yetzer whenever flares up.
Yeah. I mean, you think that marriage is a strange type of commitment for that.
Yeah, that's sort of maybe like not. What we saw earlier with Dailanu, Dayinu, what was it?
Matsilos Osana Menavera.
Yeah,
exactly. So let's say, I think you do get a hint of this, by the way, from the Gemara's discussion here. So Rava has an objection to this. How could they just show up in town and pick up extra spouses? Yeah.
So tabu at least 7 days by sa tsuchalisha if shivinakiyim, right? You have to wait 7 days, 7th period day before getting before having actually doing it soon.
Right, after you've already asked the woman to
and
marry
she agreed.
You. Right.
Okay, so Rabban Mishtuchai who have a Mishadre Omodilam. So they would send messengers in advance who would let the people know that.
Correct. So one view is that right. So one view is that they would have 7 days pass because they would and make this announcement 7 days prior.
Yeah. Vibaytema. The Rabban Yichudi ba'ama who meet me after them. Damarav in Adama Mishiyishlo Papasalo Mishiyena Papasalo. So they would just. We're not talking about full on ishut, the sense that you were not going to get to the you're not going to get the bia, but it's just a matter of being miyached with them.
Okay. And this, remember, this is all just in response to the Shivanakiyam question, right? That's what these two answers are for, right? So either the Shivanakiyam problem is solved by, it was just seclusion, just yichud, there was no intimacy, or the Rabbanan would notify the woman or make this announcement in advance. Somebody see that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But later on, you know, it's not just solving this technical issue later on in the Rishonim.
For some of the Achronim, at least. I don't know if the Rishonim already make this point.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just point out, so from the Pas Bisalo, Aim Pas Bisalo, that seems to shed some light on why they were doing this, right? Many just interpret that as like a Hirhure Avera type thing, right? The idea is that these Rabbanan wouldn't be tempted by desire if they knew that they had the capacity to enter into this intimate relationship with the woman they just had Kedushin with. Stan, is that reasonable?
Yes.
Right. Good. So I think that points us in the direction that, yeah, this is really just, is that a cat, Ned?
Yeah, he just jumped on me. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's, that is kind of crazy. It's a cat hamuad.
Yes.
Does your brother have a cat?
Yeah, clearly.
Interesting.
Okay. So, if you have an outlet that's available to you at some point, then you're able to control yourself better.
Okay. But we get from this Gemara, and I think the Pashup Shah in the Gemara, and you could see, is that these Rishonim, these Amoraim really got married. And I think the Pashup Shah is that they would divorce these women shortly thereafter. Right? So isn't that totally inconsistent? Isn't that problem of no say amanas lagarish? Right? At a minimum, we could say that it's okay in halacha that there's like a type of marriage that's just to solve these here huri avera. Right? Isn't that what it sounds like?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me just point to some Rishonim that seem to say something along those lines. So notice Rashi says, Michafetza li nase liyamim. So that implies there's some sort of nisuin, liyamim she'esakev kam, to be married for the days that I'll be here. And when you look at the Mefarshim in Yoma, where the Gemara has a parallel discussion, Rashi's even more explicit. Yesh isha shetinase li liyoma she'esakev kan, v'teitze la'achar mikan. Doesn't that language clearly imply a gerushin short after? And it's a gerushin that's even programmed into the Kiddushin. Not automatically, but the language is, let's get married for the days that I'm here, and then I'll divorce you. Teitze la'achar mikan. Right? Everybody agree with that? And you see it in Rabbeinu Chanana also. Kolomar, man havi liyoma. Kolomar, ezo isha esa'ena hayom uchsheetze min hamakam ahu agarshena. Somebody see that? So that implies that it's like a kedushin that's set up in advance, that it's going to be very short term.
Okay.
With a get that will be given afterwards. We'll see. Some Achronim tried to read the Gemara differently, but I'm saying the Pashup shot that you get from Rashi and Yuma, and explicitly in Rashi and Yuma, and explicitly in Rabbeinu Chananel, is that there was a Gerushin involved. The Meiri, this is what Ned is referring to. Here's the Meiri, I think, explicitly mentions Kadesh Amod below here. Her. So Ned, why don't you take us to this Meiri quickly to start here.
Right, ליומים, כדי שתרצה, תרצה בגרשין, אחר כך לא יהיה שם אלא יחד בעמה.
You'll hold up with יחד בעמה, but the point is that...
So it's divorce after a couple of days, and that's tonight from the get-go.
Yeah, it was understood from the get-go, and the whole purpose of this was Lamed below hear her, right?
Unclear how that works.
What do you mean?
I don't understand the psychology of it.
Has that ever stopped you in the past? It's an existential postulate of the halacha, Ned.
Sure, but it's the Meiri. He's not one of the Chachmei Masorah.
Wait, so what's the issue here?
No, what's the psychology? Like, how does that avoid Hiver? Like, meaning, it's not now you're not going to have your Hiver, you're just going to have Mutter relations?
The psychology is that a person only wants what he can't have. But once you could have it, then you're less desirous of it. I think that's the underlying psychology. That's the pas eno dema mishi yeshbo pas pesala lemisha yeshbo pas pesala.
But how does yuchid? But then the yuchid ba'alma doesn't solve the problem.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Right.
It's not the yuchid that solves the problem. It's the fact that they could do it.
Yeah, but generally. Pas pesala makes more sense. I think it's generally understood to mean that since the person can, like, eventually or has the actual possibility to do this and, like, can, then therefore they're, you know, not as, don't have the same hearing. But it doesn't, it's strange that should apply if like, he knows he never will.
Yeah. I mean, like, if this was known to be a ruse from the get go, why does it become pas pesala? That's what you're asking?
It sounds like it was, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I should point out, by the way, that even on the theory of, he says, "Kedei lahasbia eino shel yetzer."
That also is like
you satisfy the yetzer hara in some way. Yeah, it is interesting. I don't know. I was never really too troubled by I didn't think too deeply about the psychology, but apparently it worked. No? Ned? I assume Rav and Rav Nachman, you know, are testifying adequately about it.
Well, yeah. The point is that it makes the Meiri's read a hard read, I think.
The Lamed below hearer?
Or even whatever, that version of the Gemara. Right, that it's that,
just yichud.
Yeah,
that's true. Josh Brofman, you have a thought on this?
Yeah, I don't know if it's such a hard read. I think they're assuming that your yetzer hara is stronger and is going to get you if you it can make you do an iser, but there's no iser the yetzer hara can make him do here, so he's going to have less of an event. Like, I don't know.
The yetzer hara doesn't, meaning the yetzer hara is not desire. The yetzer hara wants you to do wrongful
in
things.
In that conception of the yetzer hara.
We should make Josh the Shir Mashgiach.
I love that.
I wouldn't personally say it, but
right, you're saying it's like Mayim Genuvim Yimtaku. It's like the Yitzhahara wants you to go against the Torah. It's not that the Yitzhahara wants you to do desirous things. That's very brisker. No, it's like you know, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim so that we could eat matzah, right? So you're saying like the Yetzer Hara wants us to do things, not because, like, it's not that we desire those things. The Yetzer Hara wants us to go against the Torah.
That's how I've heard some people talk about it.
Like it's the mystery Yetzer Hara out to get you.
That's good. It's a good shot. Okay, so I think we all agree that something has to be said about this Gemara Nivamos and the Gemara Yuma, no? It's a very serious objection to the idea of Lo Yisa Adamisha V'day De Lagarsha. We agree that prima facie, they're very inconsistent. I think also, you know, you might want to have something to say about the very fact that this marriage is sanctioned for something like just Hirhuri Avera.
Yeah, that gets back to Roby's point that he made a couple weeks ago about why Halacha allows this to happen.
This type of union.
Yeah, like you would expect it to not allow this.
You think that the Psukim and Bereishis, when they talk about Etzem Etzamai Basar Mibsari, are is a loftier aspiration than that Gemara Nivamos, which you quoted earlier, Ned. Dayan Shematzilo Sosanim in Avera.
Yeah, especially in Bereshit where it actually causes the Avera, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so let's see a look at some of the stuff that's been said on this discussion. A lot of people point to the Rambam as saying in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch getting it from the Rambam, that maybe the Gemara Nivamos of Aser L'Adam Lisa Isha V'day De Lagarsha is limited to what type of case? Scream it out, Ned.
Yeah, but if he didn't let her know beforehand.
Yeah. If he didn't let her know, maybe if he let her know in Hodia, then it's mutter. The Rambam says that. The Tur cites the Rambam as saying, and Beis Yosef says, I don't know why you need the Rambam to say this. This is really just the Gemara. Right? He says, Lo yadati lama tala rabbeinu b'harambam harimavur her parakacholetz. Parakacholetz is the discussion in Yivamos, right, about Man Havel Yoma. So the thought is that the Man Havel Yoma discussion is just definitive. It shows you that so long as the wife's on board milachatchila, there can't be any problem with this. That's one way of reconciling the Gemaras. Everybody see that? I think it's a very easy way, very natural way of doing this. But just want to lay out that there are other views. So we'll see, for example, the Bach's analysis. What's the Bach's analysis? What does he think is the answer to how to reconcile Lo Yisad Misha V'day De Lagarsha with the Gemara?
That they don't actually divorce them. They just marry them and leave them there.
Yeah, good. The Bach says that there never was a Gerushin. Lo Lagarsha Achar Kach. Right? Now, this is also an interesting question. You might say, why is that better? Right? Like, why is an alienated, an estranged relationship better than Gerushin? Right? Josh?
Yeah, I was going to say, it depends if you think that the actual act of just gerushin, of dissolving like a formal marriage, is a problem, or if it's more of Adam Lefevero considerations. Like, he's willing to leave her as almost like an aguna, like in order to not break up the marriage, you know?
Yeah, but you might say, what marriage, right? What's left here? You know, we could talk about ikdicha tafshilo, matzach eras nahim, and eras davar. But to borrow that language of the Rambam, right? La mod ima kisheino ohava, or the Rambam Perush Mishnayos that we just saw. I guess he's not omade with her, right? They're separated. But it is a little funny to think that the Bach would think it's a good thing or a better thing for them to be totally separated but formally bonded. Romy?
Well, I mean, you might say that the same thing that makes Geirushin such a big deal is what makes it not, like, what helps here, in the sense that you haven't actually cut anything off. So you have, you, whether or not you plan on returning, you really have allowed or left alive this kind of potential for it to be a longer term marriage, or it is a longer term marriage. And you just haven't done anything as drastic, even if technically the results are the same. The same way, the same way that there are different degrees of this, I guess is my point. Like, a couple could be married and the guy could go away on business a lot and people wouldn't think that was so terrible. Right.
Totally. I didn't realize I muted myself. Like the dentist, you know, who, you know, moves his family to Israel but comes in for every other month to practice in the States. No, I feel like everyone knows a dentist who does that. But I think what Romy's saying is more palatable if the husband's in and out, right? Like the husband's coming back, or if we want to be very American about it, it's like the whalers up in Nantucket, right? They would like go out for months and like the wives wouldn't know if they were ever going to come home or when they were coming back. Now, and if you guys do the Northeast Coast whaling, no. The lost art. So the just yeah, I get very excited about things like this after Mafter Yona. So it's very exciting. Anyways, the you should know there's a good drasha in Moby Dick about Mafter Yona. Because the whole Claire, are whales fish or not? And in Yona, it's called a dug, but it's clearly a whale. A lot turns on this. So, but that Drisha has a version of what Romy just said, which is, let's see. It's not that the husband gets up and abandons her. But it just means that the husband's kind of in and out, right? He, Ravin of Nachman, like Manhava Lioma, wasn't just for this limited term. It meant for whenever Ravin of Nachman came back to this town.
I think this is the best shot. I love this, Brisha.
You like this, Brisha?
It also has a good proof.
At your Ufra of Ezra. So, you know, somebody will give us, you know, this is Ezra's favorite Bach over here. It's you know, having multiple wives in multiple towns. But let's hear. So Ezra, tell us why you love it.
Well, because I think it really works with the case in the Gemara. I mean, it seems like it talks about a specific city they went to marry, and it sounds like maybe they frequent that city a lot. And also makes sense in terms of they want companionship when they're at this city. It makes a lot more practical sense than what we said before.
Exactly. Also,
his proof of like the kashia of like Medina, Isha of Medina Zoo, and another one in another one, that's clearly that you're married to two different women, and it's not that you divorced one of them.
Yeah, exactly. So the thought here is that these were actually permanent types of unions, right? And the Bach does a lot of the footwork here to be medayik in the Gemara that it wasn't everywhere Ravin of Nachman went, they said Man Havel Yoma. If they would come to these towns, he says, and these were specific places where they always did business or where they always visited, right? Mashma deloka amar hachi b'chol makom shaba eladafka b'makom hazem mishum shaya rugi alavo sham lefrakim ulasakev sasham. Right? And the chiddush was just that, look, the guy has a family in Beit Shemesh, where he lives half the year, and he has a family in New York for when he opens his dentistry practice prior to Chaim de B'Negosham. And so these actually were like stable unions. I think it's a pretty compelling shot. And the advantage is that you're not stuck with the Bach issue. I think what's motivating the Drisha is that he doesn't like the Bach suggestion. But it's weird to think that no se isha almenas le azva, right? Almenas to leave her is much better than no se isha almenas le garsha. Right, is abandoning the wife better than divorcing her. Right. So Romy was saying, okay, yeah, you could justify the Bach's view. Right? Because like Gerishin per se, that's problematic. But you might say, look, there's a problem with Aziva also, right? Even if there's no formal dissolution that goes along with it. And I think that's what you see in this tension between the Bach and the Drisha in the different ways they go about explaining the case. Josh Shapiro?
How does the Drisha deal with the fact that the Gemara says Man Havei LeYoma? I don't know. It doesn't really suggest that they're coming back that often. Like the word Yoma suggests like one time, one day.
That's true. It is true. Anybody have a thought on Josh's Yoma? I mean, Yoma might just mean the, you know, I'm here for 3 weeks. I'm here for a day every month.
The Meiri already read it that way also. He said, Kama Yomim, no?
Yeah, most people don't read it as actually one day. So it's not inconceivable to read it as a set
blocks,
of days.
A block of time.
It's like under 7 days, though? Or when it says they sent ahead?
That is true. Well, I think that's just going on the fact that the guy, it sounded like they came to town. That's an interesting point. Does the Shiva Nakim thing imply that it's even they weren't there for even 7 days?
They sent it early before he got there, so maybe you can So it's right. Definitely.
It does say Yomei. Yomei, I think, is Manhavali Yomei. We could look at the Gersas in the Gemara, but I think actually Yomei is plural. Right, Rashi says, Michafetz Linase Liyamim. All right, so a few days. But you're right. Even that, a few days doesn't imply what the Drisha is suggesting, that these long-term relationships, right? Okay. Let's just look at other views very quickly, and then we'll end, because I know we can't do a full shiur on a Zoom day. So we're going to end in 5 minutes. But I'll just let's get another view out there so we could at least put this part of the presentation behind us when we pick up. The Beis Shmuel in Siman Beis quotes the Taz. We can just look at the Taz directly here. It's the Taz. Sorry, this is not the right Taz. It's actually this Taz. In Evan Ezer, Siman Kuf Yud Tes. Sorry. Let's go to Beis Shmuel. Here, page 70. What's the Taz's answer to the Stira?
That the second answer is going back on the earlier stage of the Gemara.
Yeah, tell us about that.
So he says that this, according to the Ibaitema, it's rejecting, it's saying that even if you're Modia, the Trila, it's still Aser.
Yeah. Meaning what? Meaning that once the Gemara, in trying to adjust the Shiva Nikiyim problem, once the Gemara suggests that it was just Yichud, how many do you think this? Full. What does it mean?
It means that full bia, even if modia l'tchila is aser.
So this is interesting. Do you think it means that the bia was aser, or do you think it means that they? I guess you have to say that
all that was allowed is yichud. So,
but was there? But my question is on this taz. Was there? So I think you're right. Ned's right that the answer here seems to be that. So there are two ways of thinking about this. Is the idea here that there was no nisuin, but they somehow had yichud without nisuin? That would be very difficult, no? Because then why? How is that a pas besalo?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, but like I said earlier, the problem stands regardless. But I'm not sure.
On the other hand, it doesn't. It's hard to say that there is nisuin. Sorry. And the Gemara is saying that that there can be nisuin for yichud, but not nisuin for bia, is also a weird thing to say.
Yeah. Right, so what's the answer? This is a little, it's strange, right? He's trying to say, well, once the Gemara comes along and says that it was just Yichud, that means that, yeah, relations would be prohibited in this type of union. Is that the idea?
Where do you see that as prohibited?
What?
Where do you see that as prohibited?
He says, once the Gemara says, V'taz mitariz, V'yatir it's achron sham, dam rabban yichudi have miyachta v'lo ba'aleha, nidchatir it's kama, uliyoma asar afilum humodiyah. Meaning it would be prohibited to have a kiddushin amanas lagarish, even if you got the consent of the wife. But then why is yichud permitted? So I want to say a chiddush very quickly. And that is, maybe the thought is that this is a marriage that permits yichud, but not one that permits bia. It's big chiddush. Josh Robbins like, no, it can't be. There's different ways of saying this. But take my formulation for a second, right? Maybe a short-term marriage. There's like such a thing in halacha as a marriage that will permit yichud, but that won't permit bia. Is that crazy? It's not crazy, right? It works in very nicely with this idea that maybe there are different chaluyos of Ishus, a theme we've seen earlier in the Zman, right? Zivag Rishon, Zivag Sheni, Erisin, Nisuin, So Kedushin Amanasta Garish, maybe it doesn't generate a Heter Bia, but maybe it's enough to generate a Heter Yichud. Anybody like that suggestion? Romy?
I just think it's not, there are ways to make it sound less radical. Like there's like people are familiar with the concept with like older people getting remarried later in life when like this isn't so relevant. But the idea that it would be usher is, I don't know how to explain that.
You think that's too crazy?
Like it makes sense for marriages to be oriented towards different things, but I don't know where the isser comes in, how the isser comes in.
Right, but something the thought here would be, look, it's not, from one perspective, it's not radical because you could instrument, you could reduce this taz to saying something along Nidarim Daf Chaf, which is just, look, if there's Das Legarish, then there's an Isser Bia.
Right.
What I'm saying is that if you do Kedushin Amanas Legarish, or Nesuin Amanas Legarish from the get-go, then the whole marriage never carries with it a head there.
You're essentially saying that it's like if you get married in a case where there's like eternally one of the Teisha Midos situations, like this is what you get basically.
Sort of, correct. Or for example, like you could have, you could have an Erisin, which carries with it, let's say, Nisar Eishas Ish without the Heter Vishas. So there's a Chiddush of like a Nisuin Amanas Lagarish creates a Chalos of a Nisuin without a Heter Bia, but with a Heter Yichud.
Tough thing to not say explicitly.
What?
It's a tough thing to not say explicitly. Oh, okay. Shmuel or someone else.
Okay, well, but fine. Let me just say one more thing, though. I just want to mention. This, let me just make sure I have this. Oh, you know who really fleshes this out a lot? The Mishpatei Uziel, which we'll get back to in our next year. But I'll just say it outside then. The Mishpatei Uziel's main argument is that I thought here's the Karban Asanel. Yeah. The Karban Nisanel and the Mishpatei Uziel point this out. This is on page 72 on the source sheet. Says something along the lines of the Taz. He says the Rif doesn't really pask in this Gemara, etc. And he says Shma Mina Shehem Mefarshim Hadikamar Tamuda Yichude Hava Miyachti Lahu Rotzalomar Kefia Rivid Hainu Shalo Lakhu. This might be even a more deflationary theory, actually. Hold off on the Karban Nisanel. I'll just say the Mishpatei Uziel outside. What he suggests is that maybe this Gemara is rejected Ledina. Did you guys catch that in the Mishpatei Uziel's analysis? That the Gemara in Yevamos is not accepted Lahalacha. And his diak is that the Rif and the Rush never paskin it. They never quote it. I'll just give you that example. Let's give you one formulation from his tshuva. We're going to read through the whole thing very carefully because it's really just a gold mine of great observations. But here's, for example, one formulation. Don't bother me, he says, from the sugya of Ravin or of Nachman. This is on page 79. Blah, blah, blah. Shahare harif harash hishmitu hanach uvdi bihilchoseim amal disfirlu shahanu uvdi enokalacha. The main move is to say that, yeah, just like maybe those Tanaim had weird views, those Amaram have weird views, and we don't paskin like them. Like we're not forced to accept everything that goes on in the Gemara. So in a Chanamim, we say that it's lo yisad amisha v'dayta legarsha. Yeah, it's a machlokes about it, and the halacha comes down on the side of it being prohibited against those stories. Right, so unlike the Rambam was trying to make shalom between the Gemaras, who says, oh, if you get her consent, it's okay. Does anybody see that? So I just want to point out the Taz, my reading of the Taz is a little is a nice in-between Shita, where basically what you're saying is that it's not the case that Nosa Isha Manas Ligarsha is totally prohibited, or that it's totally permitted when you have her consent. But Nosa Isha Manas Ligarsha, it may create some aspects of Ishas, like a heter yichud, but it won't go so far as to create a heter bia. So basically that. So you get a very nice in-between shita about how to make sense of this case, or the case of Rav and Rav Nachman. Right, so basically, any thoughts on that suggestion? We'll stop here with this suggestion, and then we're going to wrap up this discussion and the Mishpatei Uziel when we pick up. Josh, you have a thought on this? Just on this suggestion.
Yeah, sorry. Did you like ever answer, I think it was Romy's question, about how that fits in with the Gemara? Because the whole point is that it should be Paf Solo. So how does it make sense if it was just for Yichud? Did we answer that or not?
How does it make sense? I think the answer is you'd have to say that on my reading, all these Chachamim really needed was Yichud. Like, it's not obvious that you don't like that. I think the argument is that, like, going back to the Meiri, Lahasbia, the Ayin of the Yetzer Hara, let's go back to that formulation. Arguably, what they needed was, like, companionship, not anything beyond that. That's how I read the Meiri myself. You don't like that, Josh?
No, I think that's beautiful.
You think that's beautiful?
Yeah, all they need is companionship. Yeah.
let's see if that makes sense in the Meiri. Let's go back.
But yeah, I don't know if it fits in the pshat so much.
Say it again?
I'm just not sure it fits in like the pshat of like the Gemara, but you know.
Here. Okay, lam blo here. Masna ima shet eskad shalol yamim kdei shet eskad shabigir shenachagak lo yesham el yich balma lios lepas besalo kdei lasbia eno shal yetzer. I suppose one way of reading that, you're right, the Pashup shot is that it's Yichud that if they needed would come along with Heter Bia. But again, as you point out, that comes with all these complications, right? Because the whole point here is that they have to wait Shiva Nikiyim, so the Yichud didn't bring with it a Heter Bia. So either way, you're stuck with that problem in the Gemara, according to the Meiri. I'm just saying that you could get the same result where the prohibition is not because of the Shiva Nikiyim requirement of Hilchos Nida, but because like the Nisuin didn't bring with it a heter tashmish. Right? So I think the Lazbia Eino Shel Yetzer thing is a problem no matter which way you go on the Yichud Miach delay. Do you agree, Josh? Okay. Great.
And what does he mean by Isser Kal?
Very good question.
Meaning it's still Usser? Or is it that the Yichud is?
He means the Yichud is still Aser.
Yeah.
So this is a further good point that Ned's making. This is about the Shiva Nikiyim point specifically. We hold, this is a big issue in Chuppas Nida, that even if a couple where the wife is a Nida is allowed to have Yichud, if they were never intimate yet, they're not allowed to have yichud. That's the halacha we paskin. That's if you have a chuppas nida, you don't do a yichud. There's no yichud room.
It's against the first episode of Surgim.
Oh, yeah, is it? All right, we'll have to watch it all together and pass judgment then. But you know, in our shir, we have higher standards. We could only watch high class things like shtisel. We don't watch low class things like Surgim. But so that's what the Meiri is worried about. The Meiri is saying, look, the Yichud itself, Kodem Tashmish, would be prohibited because of the Shiva Nikiyim issue. But we somehow waive that we let them violate this Isser Kal. Right. So I just want to, it's a further important point that once you're willing to violate Isser Kals to accommodate the Amorayim's Hirhurim, you might say, well, we should also be willing to accommodate an Isser Kal of, you know, no say Amanas Lagarish, whatever it is. But That's you know, it's always controversial when you're allowing Yisurim for other things. All right, let's stop here because we already went too late for our Zoom limit. So at least we'll stop here 5-6 minutes early. All right, guys, everyone should have a. If anybody, should we do a Simchas Beis Shavuot on Philly? Is that anybody want to schlep down, or is that just too far?
Absolutely.
Okay, we have one. We have one. I drop it on the chat, and we'll see. Benji, okay, Ned. Why don't we do this? I'm around like all Yontif. I'm building a nice sukkah in the backyard. We could do a day activity if you guys want. I'll drop it on the WhatsApp and we'll follow up. But in the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful Yontif.
Could go shooting.
I'm just the only thing I'm worried about. Let me stop the recording.